Welcome back to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. This is your host, Amos Medford. Thanks for listening to the Family Friendly Hunting Podcast. And today I'm excited to talk to Jason Brown, who is a North Florida resident right here alongside of me. And I really appreciate and love talking to guys who are kind of up here in my area. There's some unique challenges to hunting Florida and this part of Florida. But Jason has a pretty cool story about finally getting his first alligator. So, you know, gator hunting, all that good stuff. It's definitely a Florida-style episode. So me and Jason really had fun just taking it easy, just chatting. So hope you guys enjoyed jumping in and hearing a good, relaxed conversation about some Florida hunting. Hope you guys have a great week. For those who've opened up, our season opened up Saturday. Archery here in Zone C in Florida, and I was happy to get out there and extremely happy to see some deer. So nothing on the ground, but definitely encouraged, always happy to see some deer from the stand. So let's jump into this one with Jason Brown momentarily. But first of all, I do want to say thank you to this episode's sponsor, Anabolic Grow. And whether you're doing some small food plots out there, quarter acre, half acre like me, or you've got a tractor and everything else, and you're doing the big farming stuff, you're going to find that Anabolic Grow is going to help you get more out of your work, and that is awesome. So check them out at anabolicgrow.com. You can always use Wannabe Hunting 10, save a few bucks there. And just a shout out, you can check out a brand new episode on the Marshfield Outdoors podcast, Todd Karen recently went on there. You can find out all the details there. You can jump back to episode 27 here on the Wannabe Hunting podcast and get most of that same info as well. So thanks for listening. Thanks to Anabolic Grow. And let's jump in with Jason Brown. I was going to ask you where how do you pronounce it? Sumerian?
Oh, yeah, just Sumerian Outdoors. Yeah, it's from Conan the Barbarian when I was a kid.
Okay.
That's just where it came from. I was like, oh, yeah, I always like being outside in that movie. In the comic books when I was a kid, I read them all. So I was like, oh, okay. It's nothing really ingenious about it.
I gotcha. Yeah. And maybe I should know that, but yeah, I didn't connect it. So I appreciate that.
Oh, no problems.
That's cool, man. So, you know, kind of jumping in first things first, do you mind just kind of introducing yourself and letting everybody know who you are, where you're from, all that good stuff. And then we'll kind of talk about a little Florida hunting, man.
Yeah, no problem. Well, my name is Jason Brown. Obviously live here in Florida. As I was joking around with you earlier, I'm the self-anointed, unofficial, wannabe hunting podcast sponsored athlete for the moment. I grew up in Live Oak, not too far from here. Those in Florida will know where it's at. Rural town. We lived out in Suwanee County. Lived there, grew up there till I was 11. Like most kids in the rural South, just outside all the time, drinking out of, hoses and not being inside a whole lot. Having my first little Red Ryder BB gun when I was 5, and that just kind of started it. Like a lot of young men, I did a lot of hunting with my dad. And, well, hunting in air quotes, you know, stomping around the forest, making too much noise. Did a lot of hunting with my he was really into small game, rabbit, squirrel, things like that. Just really good memories of growing up, always being outside, you know, brim fishing, catfish fishing, things like that. Then when I was 11, we moved to Fort Lauderdale, outdoorsy kind of environment. Put in all the sports pretty heavily. Played through high school and in college, played 2 years of Division III football, and joined the Navy. Got out of the Navy, took a job as a contractor here with the Navy, so it's not like I went far here. All in right. Jacksonville, if anybody's wondering. Like a lot of things, I got involved in other jiu-jitsu and training still with my. And then a few years ago, a buddy invited me out to his property, and then it just manifested itself into Something I just did a few times a year, like a lot of people, where it's just really central to my life right now. So that's kind of a quick rundown.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. I didn't realize you were from Live Oak, pretty close by here, so I know exactly where that is. And I was talking to you earlier and knew that you're Navy, knew that you ended up in Jacksonville, but a lot of guys do that, are in the Navy, end up in Jacksonville, and are from who knows where. So that's kind of cool. I didn't realize you're from right around the corner.
Yeah, I try to go everywhere possible but here.
Right.
I've been for orders anywhere and they just stuck me in Jacksonville. So I guess it was just meant to be. Florida boys just can't get far from Florida, I suppose.
That's right, man. That's right. We always, usually it's like sometime in May, which, as a Florida native, that's when it starts getting unbearably hot. My wife will look at me, and we're both Jacksonville natives, and she'll say, why do we live here? And no, it's we were born here. That's my line. So
Yeah, I really think our ancestors, when they were running around, they must have came here in December, because I can't think of anybody, like you said, in June, being like, "Hey, this is a good place to set up camp." So.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. It must have been December or February or something, because it's pretty ridiculous between the mosquitoes and the everything else. But
Yeah, the mosquitoes. I mean, the little joke is, the mosquitoes have to put on bug spray. They're so tough.
that's true, man. I've been running a thermocell for several years now, and I don't know, man. I run two thermocells, scent-free bug spray, whatever you got to do. We gotta get out there, but it's pretty wild, early season especially.
Yeah, even I even gone this far, and I've invested now in the face nets, and they're still on me. So,
Yeah. The cool thing I found, if I take my brother-in-law with me, I'm not sure if he'll listen or not, but he'll have like 100 times the mosquito bites as me, so I feel good. I just sit next to him and they attack him and stay off of me. I don't know what it is, but I'll take
yeah, he must have that sweet blood in him. It's
it.
like my
Yes,
grandma used to
sir.
say, too much
Oh, man.
Yankee food.
Yeah, some people have it, and I'm glad I don't, I guess.
That
I'll
one
take
again.
it. That's cool, man. Well, I kind of wanted to ask you, I appreciate you giving a little background there. I kind of wanted to ask you, that answered how you originally got into hunting. We were kind of messaging the other day, and you recently were on a successful gator hunt. That's kind of a Florida thing. I mean, I know they do it in at least Georgia and I think South Carolina, but that's pretty Florida thing to do, go hunt alligators. So, you mind kind of sharing that story or talking about maybe going gator hunting a little bit?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny when people, because swamp people are so popular, they think, you just shoot them. And even I maybe was a little biased when we first started a few years ago, like, oh, this is gonna be easy. I've been around gators my whole life. A few years ago, we got tags, me and my two best friends, and we knew zero about gator hunting except for a few things we read and, old Southern tales. And that the first year was just a disaster of frustration and just very frustrating. Fun, but frustrating. You're a hunter, you understand the concept. And then each year we got a little bigger to where last year we were joking around, we're hitting them in the head with treble hooks and probably giving them concussions. And got two in the boat last year, smaller guys, so we let them go. And things aligned this year, right? We dialed in on the gear and our tactics and where we were going to go, got some good scouting in. And I believe that was on our second excursion out. We hooked him. And it was just, I think, just perseverance, like anything else in life. If I would have made a YouTube documentary, it would have been, six. We actually got one that we wanted to keep. So,
Right.
but it's fun. I mean, it is to me. It's kind of a mix between hunting and fishing, at least the way we've been doing it. Putting out the bait and everything. And it's, I would imagine it's kind of like shark fishing, because all of a sudden there's nothing there. Then all of a sudden, you hear the line. Just your adrenaline is going.
Right.
Next thing you know, this literally a dinosaur is next to your boat and the size of it. What the heck? Yeah, it's fun, you know, you grew up here, so you understand it. It's just something primal about being out at night in the swampy areas, and you hear the bugs, the moon, and the quietness of it. It's just, I think it's I think for us Floridians, it's kind of like, in my mind at least, might not be the same thing. It's like ram hunting out west, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, like so old, kind of old school still or whatever. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but as far as the regulations, but once you're out there, it is kind of, you're kind of out there. It feels like it anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah, when you're out there at night, if anybody's ever been on a large body of water, there's no one out there and it's just you. Like, I mean, it's pitch black. It's a different environment altogether. Just beautiful, quiet, you know. Last time, you know, we had the cicadas, and there's this one native bird. I can't figure out what it is, but they're white and they kind of got a beard, and they like congregate in certain areas, and it's a piercing scream. So yeah, it's a great time. Hopefully we'll be able to get you out with us before the season's over this year.
Yeah, man, we'll see if it works out. That'd be cool. I had another friend of mine, I think it was the same night y'all killed that one, he sent me a picture like the next morning as well, and they had killed one. But it's pretty cool. And, you know, like you said, growing up in Florida, not realizing how hard it would be. You know, you've seen gators before. I've seen plenty of alligators. You know, I've seen them on the water, and usually I'm trying to avoid them. But
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Yeah. It's kind of different. You actually want to see those red eyes or whatever. So
yeah, and you will see so many red eyes at night. You'd be like, man, when I was a kid, I was crazy swimming in all them little holes.
Oh yeah. Like,
well, I guess Florida boys are a lot different. But yeah, I thought it was like in Pennsylvania. You know, there's just so many deer everywhere, and a lot of the, you know, when I lived up there for a while, you know, old grandpa, you know, smoking a cigar would, you know, have a 12-point buck in the back of his truck. So it's like, can't be that hard. So I just figured that same theory would hold in Florida, but no. Spending a small fortune on gas and bait and everything. But I think we got it dialed in now. So we got a pretty good plan. We're actually going to be out Sunday night at midnight. My tags start. So.
Okay. Very cool, man. Yeah. It's pretty wild. When I was a kid, you know, they'd take us tubing, and we had Black Creek up here, and it is a black creek, and that's what they do. You know, the whoever's driving the boat would throw you off the tube into the, you know, into the lily pads or whatever. And it's like, looking back now, I'm like, I'm not sure about that.
Exactly. Yeah. We used to go swimming in the Suwannee all the time, and, you know, go around there at night one time. You're like, what was I thinking? Or why were my parents not thinking for me?
But,
you know, really, you know, gator attacks are so rare. I mean, I think they're rarer than sharks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And the shark attacks are so rare, too. I mean, you know, in general, they're not really coming after you, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing blessed about Florida is that, you know, literally you could go shark fishing in the morning and go gator hunting in the evening, all in the same day. Florida's just such a cool place on so many levels.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And, you know, I mean, we've still got a few weeks to go here in Zone C, but honestly, you know, you could go surfing in the morning and go deer hunting in the afternoon here in a few weeks. It's like, it's so crazy.
But, yeah, isn't it crazy? Yeah, and it's awesome. You know, as I was saying, he lives more down south than us, but, you know, he's like, man, I can grab a Cuban sandwich, shoot a few iguanas, and then I'm up here, you know, sitting in a deer stand. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's pretty good. You know, like I was saying earlier, it gets real hot here and it can get pretty miserable with the bugs and everything else. But, you know, there's some benefits too, you know, and we don't shovel snow and all that good stuff and have gray skies for 6 months and all that. So I'll take it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm sure like you, last year I cooked Thanksgiving dinner in shorts and flip-flops. Yep. Drink Gatorade because it's still hot out. So yeah, we're blessed. We might not have the mountains, but we got a lot of cool stuff.
Yep, totally agree, man. Well, let's talk a little bit. That's pretty cool to hear about gator hunting. Let's talk a little bit about maybe some of your other you know, hunting in Florida, whether it be deer or turkey or whatever else you've gotten after. I know you said when you were a kid doing some small game stuff, do you ever still go squirrel hunting or anything like that, or you kind of moved on stuff?
Yeah, I mean, luckily I hunt at my buddy's place, which is private land. So, you know, if you get bored, you can always go trounce around trying to find some squirrels. Which is just fun. Even if you don't get one, I mean, shooting shotguns is fun. Turkeys is a sore subject. We won't talk about that today.
Fair enough. <It's>
more frustrating than alligators. But yeah, like a lot of people, you know, deer, I focus on deer, heavily, mm-hmm. out of where we hunt. I don't know if you have the same luck, but, you know, when it's doe season, I'll see a buck. When it's buck season, I'll see does.
100%. That's kind of... I couldn't agree more, man.
You know, I think, what was it? It was like one or two years ago. And we were sitting there in a big blind, and I'm making more noise than anything. Because I know I just in my mind, I'm like, we're not going to see anything. And then two does just walk right under us. I'm like, yeah, figured. Not a bow hunter. I mean, I do, you know, some people, quote unquote, look down upon that. But I want to say thank you to you, because now you really got me inspired to take up the bow for next year.
Nice. So, yeah. And I've never killed anything with a bow, but. It's once you kind of get into it and get started with it, it's really intriguing. And I've had a lot of guests on, and I've heard other people on other podcasts and stuff. I've heard so many people say, once I started bow hunting, you know, I put down the rifle and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm so intrigued, you know, they're like, it's more of a challenge. And I'm thinking, man, I have a challenge with a rifle. Like,
you know, yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, man, this is crazy. But, you know, just in the backyard shooting, getting it tuned, and, you know, I've even built a few arrows for myself, and it's interesting, and it's fun to me. There's a lot of detail to it, and some, you know, definitely some challenge, I can already tell, you know. But it's pretty cool. But I'm all for legal means, so you're good.
Yeah, I do think it's cool that they get to practice their bow, because, you know, unless you really live in the rural country, you can't just say, hey, I'm gonna go, you know, practice 200 yard, you know, 3-inch shots. You know, it's a lot more accessible. I've always wondered if it's just a familiarity, because they do it every day, or, you know, a few times a week, and it's just okay, so it just feels more natural than, you know, going to a range and doing all that. So I don't know. I'll let you know in a year, and I'll probably text you being like, hey, for letting me spend all this money.
Yeah. You know? I was about to say, I have gone like super low budget, but man, I've still dropped money on it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was watching the one guy on YouTube. Oh, I can't remember his name. The traditional bow hunter, I think he's called. And he literally uses a traditional bow, and he's killed more bucks than I probably will see in my own lifetime. So,
yeah,
it's definitely a skill to it. Just another thing to add frustrating money to, you know, another frustrating aspect of my life, I guess I'm going to take on. But we'll have that conversation a year from now.
Yeah, we'll get back on that and talk about it. Yeah, it's kind of like golf, you know. How about I go spend some money to make myself extremely angry? Yeah, sure. Let's
I like that analogy. That's good.
Same thing with bow hunting. It's like, let's spend a whole lot of money and not kill anything. But no, we'll see. I'm gonna try to get the job done. Good thing is, you know, you can kill you know, antlered or antlerless during bow season, so we'll see if maybe we can at least get the feet wet this year. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, let's put out the good vibes for both of us. So
yeah, absolutely. Do you last year I killed my first buck ever with a muzzle loader. Do you have a muzzle loader or just a rifle?
No, I got a muzzle loader. Well, I borrow my buddy's, because he has like the super deluxe muzzle loader 5000.
Nice.
And I believe he got 4 last year. And just, you know, just to where he was sitting, just right time, right place. And then we were out of Joe Bud last year. We saw 2 beautiful bucks. Right. I think they're at like 210. Either he shot high and I shot low, or both. But you know, it was still cool. We were just sitting there, like it was really like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, a time you're expecting to be out, and then all of a sudden, you know, like whoa. But you know, I probably, like a lot of people, I feel most comfortable with rifle because that's what I practice with the most, and it's probably the most accessible to people.
Right.
As long as you don't drop them out of your tree stand like I have done.
Yeah, that's not great. You can avoid it.
Yeah, you know, you're sitting there all quiet, and then all of a sudden you move, and then clink, clock, clock, clock. Like, I wonder if those optics are still dialed in.
Guessing not, but you know. Oh, man. Yeah, that's got to be like one of the worst feelings ever, right there.
Yeah, it's not a moment of pride. And then I text my best friend, like, so you don't make fun of me. I'll go ahead and tell you because you probably heard it. Yes, that's me dropping my rifle.
Yeah, you might as well not hide from that one. I mean, you might as well just let everybody know.
Yeah, I'll have that. And one time we were muzzleloader hunting, and I'm just so used to having my rifle already in my truck that I didn't even think to grab the muzzleloader. So we got to where we were hunting, and he's like, where's your gun at? I was like, yeah, I left it back at camp, buddy. So, you know. But then again, you know, it's one of those things, I'm sure you had the same experiences. We'll never forget that hunt. Like, oh, that's the time Jason, you know, forgot his gun and said, you know, he'll shoot a, you know, he'll use a spear or something.
Yeah. I tried duck hunting for the first time this past season, and I showed up one time to the pond with no shells. So,
oh.
You know.
Now, do you like duck? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say, unless you're going to stare them down, you're kind of out of luck on that one. I mean.
Oh, and I know the feeling. I've ran out of ammo. I was like, can I just use my Glock 19? I mean, you know, I could still shoot. My buddy's like, no, and go sit in the truck.
First of all, that's a good flaw. And second of all, just for asking, you need to go stay in the truck.
But yeah, now do you like duck hunting?
Well, it's a whole different deal, is what I've learned. And I enjoyed what I did, but it was not traditional duck hunting as you would imagine it. I was not there first thing in the morning, set up in a blind with 2 dozen decoys and a dog. I just had some waders, and I kind of walked around these ponds, and when they jumped up, I tried to shoot them. So I don't necessarily recommend or not recommend that, but I was able to kill one duck on like one of the last 2 days of season, and a henwood duck, and she tasted amazing. So that was a good sign. So I'm gonna try it again. Hopefully, go with some people this year who know what they're doing and have a dog and stuff. Because if she'd fallen out in the middle of the pond, I would have been out of luck. Luckily, she was close to the bank, and I got in about hip deep and was able to snag her.
Oh, nice! Yeah, I think it's fun. I always take credit. I know I've not been the one shooting the ducks, but I'm in the vicinity, so I'm like, oh yeah, that's mine.
Right.
So, and then. Last year I met the zombie duck. It's almost like a little runoff. We call it the swamp, and they land in the morning, and you know, I'm like 6 feet away from this thing, and I blasted as soon as it landed. So I'm all congratulatory. I'm like, yeah, you know, got my duck. And then like 2 minutes later, 2 to 3 minutes later, it rolls back up and flies off. And I start screaming, it's a zombie duck. It's the zombie duck. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Sometimes weird stuff happens out there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is early in the morning, and you know, you're probably in, you know, surrounded by water moccasins. I, you know, just so much fun, and you know, that's all I talked about for, you know, 2 days was, yep, that's a zombie duck. Don't get bit by him. Don't eat him. Yeah. But yeah, it's fun, and every year we go up to Arkansas for the snowbird migration, for the geese migration, and that's a lot of fun, and it's. Luckily, it's not super expensive. You know, it's about $200 a day. I don't know. I just know when the guide says shoot, I just start shooting. I cannot identify the ducks flying. You know, these ducks are like 400 yards away, and the guy's like, well, that's a speckled teal, three-legged. bird right there in the middle of that pack. Don't shoot. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, but that's why I'm paying you. Keep me legal. So,
yep, I'm right there with you, man. I've talked to people who are like that. You know, they can pick something up and they know exactly what to look for. I'm like, I'm gonna wait till it gets like right in front of me and then see if it's a drake or a hen. You know.
Yeah. I do love duck hunting. I just think it's fun. You know, it's a little less. You don't have to sit there being quiet for 45 minutes. Like, I just moved. Did I spook him? It's a little more relaxed, if that makes sense. Maybe that's why my appeal to it.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a different ball game, but it's still fun. It's still cool. I'm definitely looking forward to hopefully getting out a couple times this year. So,
all right. Well, maybe we can link up. We'll bring you out to Hilliard and let you shoot some on the firing line because it's fun.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens, man. That would be very cool. Do y'all, where I hunt down south of Jacksonville, it's like, I mean, there's mallards, but it's like heavily, local wood ducks. What do y'all have up there? A little bit of everything, or?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Woodies, mallards, the teal. I think one's the teal. I just know what a mallard looks like, and I know what a wood. I might even be confusing them. But again, when my buddy when he calls him in, you know, he's, you know, it's like good old boy, yo, all right, start shooting.
They know more.
Yeah, and I do have a bad habit where, you know, I'm so used to being on the range and like precision shooting is that I don't lead the duck enough to really. So that's something I'm going to work on this year, is getting a little ahead of my shot.
Yeah, a moving target like that is a little different.
Yeah. But if you, me and you both shoot at the same time and it falls, I take 50% credit. So even if the bird has already hit the ground, I'm still taking credit. Because I'll just say, well, I scared him to death.
There you go. But I'm like you. I've seen, you know, either, you know, I guess you've been in a few situations. I've seen videos, you know, on YouTube, and there's like, you know, 12 guys, and they're shooting, you know, it sounds like World War II Battle of the Bulge going on. You know, it's like, looks like 100.
Armageddon. 100, yeah, it's like Armageddon.
And they're like, you know, I'm like, how in the world do they know which is which? Who didn't? I guess that's why they call it a 9-man limit or whatever, because nobody knows who shot those things. There's always one guy who's like, I hit most of them or whatever.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course, and I know that guy. I'm not going to call him out, but he's like, yeah, I got 12.
Yeah, he knows who he is. Like, I shot those. That's awesome. Yeah, duck hunting is cool. We'll have to see what happens with that. I can't even remember. I'm so focused on deer season and, you know, archery openers on the 17th. I have to look back and see when that early teal season is. I know that kind of comes in for a couple weeks. And then the rest of them, I guess, start up after that. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, could Game and Wildlife make it any more confusing? That's just one thing I've always wondered.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's crazy, man. And have you ever, I know you said you lived up in Pennsylvania for a little bit or whatever. Have you ever hunted out of state?
Arkansas, but that's just duck. But yeah, this year I'm going to Montana, and my buddy proved why he's the smarter of the group, because I couldn't figure out anything. Even applying for the tags, I was like, what the heck? Am I doing it wrong? Am I doing it right? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it is crazy because Florida is not great. I mean, not in my opinion. You got zones and all this. Well, with my brother in Virginia, and for them, it goes by county. Each county, not zones, but by county. And then some cities have their own thing. And then some of the counties are like, you know, east of this river and west of that creek. And I just about didn't know what dates I needed to come to hunt in the county he lives in. And then when I got there, we hunted in the county next door.
Yeah.
But luckily the dates lined up. So I was about confused out of my mind.
Yeah. And then you'll see some old timers like, what's wrong? You boys simple? didn't you just go to the website? I'm like, sir, I was on the website for hours. Well, you boys must be simple then. I go, all right, sir.
Just try to be respectful. Yes, sir. And let me know when you need to log your harvest on the app. I'll do that for you. Oh my goodness. It is wild. And yeah, in Florida, I mean, like I said, it's not much better, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's not, but I guess maybe because we're from Florida, they kind of make sense. Like, okay, but yeah, still, I have to go recheck everything. Like, all right, is it this day? Yeah, this, okay. All right, good, we're clear.
Yeah, it is crazy. But, you know, it's part of the deal. You know, I do want to get, you know, I do want to make sure what I'm doing is all above board. But, man, sometimes need an interpreter.
Yeah, well, that's like if you go to the FWC's website about what a legal gator is, you know, three of us sat in a boat staring at our phones for 20 minutes trying to figure out, well, is it legal? Because it's something about 9 inches from snout to this to that. And we're like, well, none of us want to go to federal prison. So, all right, let him go.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you want to err on the side of caution, but it's like, good point.
So there is something to say when you pay a guide, you're paying, I think you're also paying for his frustration of dealing with all that. You know, you just get to go in and shoot.
Yep. So. Yep. That's surely where some, at least a good bit of their money is made right there. Knowing all that.
I'll do the thinking for you, guys. Come on up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's one of those things that, one of those frustrations that, you know, it's kind of nice to know you're not the only one.
Exactly. And then I think some people just have a gift, like my best friend out in he's out in California right now, but you know, he can rattle this stuff like, oh, in Nebraska on December 3rd is this to do. And in California, we're going along. I'm like, wow, you are really smart when it comes to this. So.
Yeah. Maybe I just need to study harder. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, then sorry to get that tangent. I know
it's all good. Hey, I was gonna ask you, I know now we'll see what happens next year with the bow and all that good stuff, but what kind of rifle, what's your favorite rifle and round and all that good stuff?
All right, well, for a few years I was rocking the Tika TX3 bolt action and 308, which I love. It was really my first nice bolt action rifle that I ever bought, and I think I looked at it for a week before I even shot it because, you know, it's pretty hefty price tag. And I ran that. It's a great rifle. Obviously, people still use it. But then I guess it was about a year ago, I saw that Sig Cross. And you know, I guess like car guys, when they see something, they're like, got to have it. So that just stuck in my head. I was like, I got to have it. So, I got in 308 caliber just because I haven't really messed around with any other rounds yet.
Right.
So I got that about 4 months ago, and I put the Leopold, see if I say this right, 4VX. I believe that's what it's called. It's the 4x12x40 on there.
Mm-hmm.
And optics, I believe, is just personal preference. And I have a witness for this now. Out of the box. Put everything together. My first shot, I'm looking all around and I'm like, dude, I can't believe I'm not on paper. Like, how am I not on paper? Like, I just paid all this money, blah, blah, blah. And I looked again and I was in the bullseye. First time in my life.
That's fantastic. Like...
So I told my buddy, I was like, well, I'm done for the day. I got my shot in. And he's like, no, sit your butt down and keep shooting.
No, I'm with you. I would have stopped then.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, look, you know, this gun's perfect. And but ran that I think that day I put about 50 rounds through it. I don't want to do the math in my head because I'll probably cry. Shooting Hornady 168 grain out of this one. And every time I've brought it to the range, it has just been awesome. Shoots well. It's a little lighter platform I was afraid of because it's only like 6 pounds, and you know that's just super light. But it so far, I mean, it'll be field tested this year, so I'll give you better feedback later. But
right,
just like all my SIG rifles, it just runs great. And you know, it is kind of that hybrid because I do like shooting precision. I'm not a precision quote unquote competitor, but it's just something I enjoy doing. So I think it'll just give me that versatility where I can go out to 400 or 500 yards and have fun with it. But it's going to be going to Montana with me. So if you get a weird text message like, yeah, I threw it in the valley because it's a piece of junk, then please don't buy it.
That in mind. Yeah. What are your tags in Montana?
I'm getting over the counter bear, which I know it's going to be late season. Mm-hmm. But my best friend, he got elk, caribou, and deer.
Nice.
Yeah. So the kind of game plan is I'm going to be the pack mule, and he's going to do all the shooting. So.
Very cool, though. I mean, that would still be fun just to be there, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. I've never really been out west. I'm not a mountain hunter by any stretch of means, nor do I plan on it. I don't think I can afford it at this point in my life, but yeah, it's going to be wild, man. I'll definitely send you pictures, and I'm sure you'll see them on the gram like everybody else, but it should be a good time. We're not doing this crazy 12-day backcountry bring no water in hunt, but we're going to be up in some elevation. We're going to be definitely doing a lot of walking every day.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I was going to bring up fitness in general, but are you kind of doing some workout type stuff to, at least in theory, help you once you get there?
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I generally try to stay in shape year round. I know you've had other guests go into depth about training, but my training is so simple. I pretty much just do Jim Wendler's 5-3-1, or now he calls it the commando. It's just a real basic program of anything can do, but I can't mimic climbing a mountain. And you've been in many state parks as I have. There's no elevation, so I can't mimic that per se. But just making sure that I'm physically capable of getting to where I need to be. I mean, I think this morning I went for a walk before work. I did like 3 miles with 60 pounds. Mm-hmm. Which just because it's Friday. Generally, I mean, we can go on tangent about training if you want, but yeah, I'm not doing a specific training program per se. I just generally year round try to stay in shape.
Yeah, I gotcha. That program you mentioned, is that like, is there a lot of weights and machines, or is that more like a body weight type thing, or some of both?
The beautiful thing about it is all you need, you don't need anything really, but it's recommended you get a weight vest, which you can get on Amazon for like 20 bucks, 30 bucks. And what I've learned is that when people are really simple, they just can't believe that it works. Like,
right.
That's true. Like how is that going to work? And it's like, well, because you're just doing core exercises of squat, air squats, push-ups, pull-ups, lunges, and burpees. That's it. That's all you're doing.
Okay.
Like stuff we did growing up as a kid. I just kind of noticed when things, it's like, it's almost like your mind is like, it has to be complicated to work. It just can't be that simple. And then, you talk to people and they're like, well, no, you got to be doing more. Like, no, my gym is literally my garage, my front driveway.
Right. Yeah. I like that. Kind of the idea of kind of going simple, minimal, that type thing,
Well, yeah, it definitely helps. Like, for Tom, you're a busy man. I'm a busy man. Do you really want to devote 2 hours of your life every day going to the gym, from the gym? Not that there's anything wrong with that. I grew up in gyms my whole life. But there's something to say when I can just go home 30 minutes later, I'm done with my workout, and I go on with my life.
Right. Yep, and, that's the point.
Yeah, and like I believe in what Pavlov says, training should add to life, not take away. So if you go to the gym and you can't walk for 2 days, then really what's the point? We're not professional athletes. We're not Instagram stars. We're none of this. We're just normal blue-collar guys that want to, stay active. And, for me at least, I look at it this way is you know, I want to do the things that I love with the people that I love for as long as I can. And my training should reflect that. And I don't need to look jacked. And although I am pretty jacked, brother, just saying, but, you know, I want to do the things that I love. Like if you called me up and said, "Hey man, we're going bow hunting," you know, I can get there and I'm able to do it and feel good. Or, you know, my kids want to go swimming. I'm not like, "Oh, dad's too tired. He's too lazy," or whatever. So kind of going off on a tangent here, but yeah, but for me, training, it should add to life. And if it gets too complicated and too centric, it's just going to fail. You're not going to stay with it for a long time. And especially younger guys that don't have as much going on in their life, they have hunting and training. Yeah, you know, that's easy. But then when you get career, family, you know, all these other obligations, it's just, I don't think it's realistic, or you're just very selfish in that pursuit.
Yeah. And I mean, I like the way you put it. You know, if some people go to the gym all the time and that's what that is their hobby, they like to do that or whatever. But for me, I'm more so like you, I'm doing it as a means to an end and not the end itself. So if, like you said, that's exactly how I look at it. I don't care about being jacked. I care about being able to climb a tree stand and pull a bow for the next 30, 40 years or whatever, or, you know, or like you said, you know, play with my kids and not like, you know, be dying because I like, you know, got all fours on the floor or, you know, something like that. Like I'm way more interested in doing that and doing stuff like that for a long time than I am, you know, looking like a fitness model or whatever, you know. I mean,
exactly.
You have certain responsibilities as the wannabe hunting sponsored athlete, you know, you've got to look a certain way, but other than that, I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about things like mobility, comfort, that type of thing, as opposed to, you know, just looking like a bodybuilder. I mean, personally, I don't mind people who do. I'm all, you know, that's awesome. I don't care if you're ripped, but like you were saying, that's just not my like number one goal. My number one goal is, like I said, being able to move around, being able to climb a tree, being able to, you know, run, carry some weight, stuff like that.
Yeah, and being an asset to your family and the people that you love in your community, exactly. And you know, I'll tell you, when I was at my strongest strength-wise, I was a competitive powerlifter for a while, squatting 600, benching 475. I mean, decent numbers. I couldn't climb up a flight of stairs without losing my breath, just because I was just so super focused on, like, all I want to do is get stronger and bigger and lift more weights. Whereas now, well, I think 600 pounds would break my back, obviously. I'm just able to do more in life because, you know, back then, like you said, the gym was my life. To now, I think to do that would be very selfish. And I think it'd be very disrespectful to the people that I love. And like you said, the things that I love to do, it just wouldn't work. And in terms, like you were saying, bow shooting, well, you know, I can give you 50 different complicated exercises to do, but for shoulder mobility, shoulder strength, pull-ups and push-ups is really all you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. It's not just like go do a push-up a day and a pull-up a day and you'll be fine. But, you know, if you programmed out like, okay, every day, you know, I'm going to do X amount of this and X amount of pull-ups or chin-ups, you will maintain that strength and the dexterity and the strength to do that. And that's not complicated. You don't need a personal trainer for that.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to have to look that up. You said Jim Wendler, 5-1?
Jim Wendler. I'll send you the link. But, yeah, I don't know Jim personally. He's a world-renowned strength coach. I've chatted with him a few times, and I have met some people that he knows personally. So you're not going to say my name with a 10% code. But, yeah, right. If you just Google his name, 531, it's just he has different strength programs, and the one I'm running is called the Suburban Commando, you know, and he says he calls it the Walrus. It's the fat cousin of the Navy SEAL, you know, but, you know, but real basic stuff, you know, you're just doing stuff you normally do and walking. You know, a lot of quote unquote fitness people don't like to hear that, but walking is probably the best exercise you can do. and it requires zero skill.
Right.
But yeah, or just hit me up later, man. You know, I can help you out. It's you know, yeah. It sounds like you're already doing a lot of that. So it's you know.
Cool. Yeah, well, we can get onto the details of that a little bit later, but I appreciate going into that. Like I said, I think the overall mindset or way of perspective of looking at it is very similar between us there. You know, just kind of the idea of, I know I need to be moving. I know I need to be working on strength, but it's a means for me to do what I love. And, you know, like you said, with who I love for a long time, and not, you know, not just have a short stint where I could say, back in my early 30s, I was really jacked.
Yeah, exactly.
And lose it all, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people that maybe, you know, you, and I think that's great, man. Keep doing that, please. I think that's such a cool thing you do on your podcast. In the fitness world, you know, it's very narcissistic and it's very ego driven. So there's really not a lot of people that are genuine. But I think a lot of people, they have this in their minds that, you know, training is like a Rocky montage that, you know, if I'm not training to the death, I'm not training. And then you go to Instagram and you'll see like Cam and some of these really super elite athletes that are like, yeah, I run a marathon and then I go to the gym and I crush weights for 2 hours. And I think that can be inspirational, but I think if me or you tried to mimic that life, we wouldn't be able to get off the couch for a week. you know, or David Goggins screaming at us, you know, stay hard, keep going. Like, okay, I'm a grown man. I don't need somebody yelling at me. and unfortunately, you know, it's like hunting, you know, you see these guys getting these huge, you know, 50 point bucks and stuff. And you're like, dude, I'm down in Florida. Like, so I think it dissuades a lot of people. So one thing I would say is, you know, really be careful of the sources of fitness that you go to for knowledge.
You know, yeah, good point.
You know, I'll just, in case anybody's listening, they're like, wow, that makes sense. You know, Jim Wendler is a great resource. A lot of his stuff online's for free. Mountain Tough, it's a little more intricate, but I think they do a great job putting out just simple stuff you don't even need weights for. Take some other Underground Strength, Steve does some good stuff. But yeah, if you're going to some of these guys and they're like, you can look like me and you can hunt like me, send me $49 a month and I'll give you the secret. That should be a good sign to delete.
Right. Yeah, and I'm right there with you. Like, you know, I'm not a Cam Haynes hater by any means. I mean, I think what he does is pretty amazing and, like you said, inspirational. But I mean, there's no way I'm doing what he does. Yeah. It's just not gonna happen. I'm cool with doing it. I'm glad he's there. But I'm not gonna be able to run a marathon during my lunch break at my work, you know. That's cool though. But
exactly. And he's an elite athlete. He is an outlier. I mean, he's just super elite. I mean, you know, it's like you and I could train our whole life. We'll never be close to his category. But that doesn't give us an excuse to say, well, you know what? You know, yeah, let's just, you know, go do the reverse and not do anything and just, you know, be, you know, not be strong or something, you know. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't like him too. So if he's listening to your podcast, we're not hating on you, bro.
Yeah.
Keep running.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll text me later and you know, check in.
Yeah. And you know, and the funny thing, because, you know, if you look at training and it's so simple, I also believe nutrition is just as simple. You make things complicated with macros and micros and all this other stuff. It's going to not work, especially in the long run. Like for us in Florida, it's extremely hot. You know, it's just like you said, it's just a different beast out there. And what you eat does affect how you perform outside. Like, right. You're from the South. We probably both agree. I love fried chicken.
Oh yeah.
Like now, if I'm going to be outside hunting or pretty much doing anything, I just know eating a bunch of fried chicken is not the best route to go. And especially now that we're a little getting older, I think I'm leaning a little older than you, but you know, what we need is so important. It doesn't take a lot of research or craziness or buying, you know, half the store of whole foods. You know, if you just eat natural foods and don't overeat to the point where you can't move for a few hours, you know, you're relatively going to be healthy.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You can kind of simplify a lot of it. You know, don't avoid, you know, getting thirds every meal. Don't eat a lot of candy, drink a lot of soda.
Yeah.
You know, fried foods every day, or, I mean, you know, you can kind of figure it out. Like, of course, that's not healthy to go by KFC on the way home every day or for lunch or whatever.
Yeah, don't eat like a teenager. It's just that simple. Don't eat like a teenager.
That's exactly what I did as a teenager, right? McDoubles on Monday and KFC on Tuesday and Wendy's on, it's just...
Yeah, I was a conveyor belt of, unhealthy food, and I stayed lean, and I always looked, really good shape. But, now if I did that, I'd be calling you up like, hey, man, you got any friends that wear 2XL? I need. And again, there's nothing wrong if you want to really go to the deep end and manage your macros and your micros and all this and that. But, like you on the head, if you eat whole foods, healthy foods, stay away from the processed garbage food, you're going to feel better and you're going to perform better. And, like you were saying earlier, the things you want to do with the people you love, you'll be able to do it longer. So for me, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Pretty good choice. But that's its own little podcast. I know some people would probably think the way I eat is weird, but I for you.
Yep.
So have you ever eaten deer heart?
I have not. I can't say that I have. I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I guess the people who have helped me with my first couple deer have not cut it out and gave it to me, so I I have. How about you?
I have. A friend of mine brought in some deer heart, and I really liked it. I thought it was good, and I'm like, okay. Just kind of off topic, off going on its own little tangent, but because I started eating beef liver a few months ago, and I'm like, I wonder what deer liver would taste like. So I've yet to find anybody. Oh yeah, I eat deer liver all the time, but
I'm with if it, I don't really know people who eat liver or heart, to be not that I can think of. I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah, well, they have the liver king guy on Instagram who, he takes it a little more extreme than I would, but what he does makes sense. These are perfectly good organs to eat and they're healthy. I'm like, I think he's right. So it's something I was thinking about this year. If I do harvest a deer, I'm gonna process the hardened liver, maybe even make a sausage out of it.
Huh. I like it, man. I'll see how it comes out for you.
And if it's horrible, I'll act like I never said anything. I mean, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I never said anything like that. And you're like, I can roll back the tape, brother.
Yep, we can go back. It's on record. Did the heart you had, was it like, do they do it like steak? You're like seared or whatever? Or
They did it. They sliced it really thin and they did it in a gravy. Huh. And, God, I know Dave did it for me, and they did like a blood gravy. So I thought it was great. I mean, a little bit of an irony taste, but I'm like, man, this is really good.
Interesting. Might be something to try. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Just get a weird FedEx package, like test subject number two. Here you go, buddy.
Like, what is this? It looks like some kind of meat, but I'm really not sure about it.
If you do ever order gator bait, because you live down south, like as I do, don't leave it on your front porch for 2 days.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, stay away from that one. So basically what I'm telling everybody is what not to do. They can be like, okay, cool. I know not to do this, not do that. All right, check, roger.
Yeah, we've definitely covered a few things that you should not do today. So that's a good thing, though. We can learn from that, too.
Yeah. Well, when you start jujitsu, you know, everybody's a white belt. And me personally, I've always learned by doing, finding out like, okay, this really doesn't work. And I'm going to stop doing this because, you know, I got AJ destroying me every day. So let me try something different. So I was, you know, I try to look at hunting as a white belt. You know, like, yeah, dude, I'm just a white belt. First day white belt. I'm trying to learn like everybody else.
First lesson, do not drop rifle from stand. Okay.
Yeah.
I've learned that now. Try something else.
Yeah, rifle, coffee cups, backpack. I've done it all. you know, and I'm sure there are like sponsored pro athletes that have done the same thing, but you know, they'll never admit it. Like
right.
When I do my deer stand, I don't move for 2 hours because I meditate every day. Like, okay, dude.
Right. When I'm in the mountains, I can stop breathing for up to 2 hours at a time just to limit my movement.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've probably seen the same thing. Some of these guys, especially like in their quote unquote, you know, advertisement, like they take themselves so seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I bet you were nothing like that in real life. When I'm hunting, I don't smile because animals will see you smile and they'll run. Like, all right, dude. And that's true of all industries, you know, like in, you know, back to fitness, you know, the guys, you know, they put out the silly memes like, while you're sleeping, I'm grinding. Like, what, you're working out at 11 o'clock at night? Like, that's not even healthy, bro.
Right. I thought you said that you had to build muscle. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but that's how it goes. No, it's funny. And it is like that in every industry, I think, you know, sometimes even with, like, football players or pro athletes like that, I'm sure they do commercials, and it's like, they take themselves pretty seriously, or it's products they don't use, or whatever the case, you know, and I'm sure it's the same way. But that's why exactly. I like the Rhett Daniels stuff, you know, it's like, we take hunting seriously, we don't take ourselves seriously. That's what I say.
Yeah, and you were exactly right. Like, I've had the luxury of training with some special forces guys, and, you know, people just have it in their mind that, you know, they're just killing machines. They are, like, the biggest goofballs I've ever met.
Right.
Like, I don't know if it's just built in them, like, to be funny and outgoing. Like, I know one personally, and he's just, like, the happiest outgoing guy. But, you know.
That's awesome.
And that's true of anything in life, you know. People on the outside, like, oh, you guys like to hunt. You guys are just killers and murderers, you know. And it's like, then they meet and talk to you. You're like, wow, you're the nicest guy in the world.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, of course, people love him, people hate him, but, you know, Michael Waddell, you know, it's the bone collector. I mean, him and T-Bone, I mean, they're like joking and having a good old time the whole time, but it's called bone collector and it's got a skull, you know, it's like, you know, it's so not about that, but it's, you know, like I said, and I'm not saying I don't mind the term bone collector or whatever. I get it, you know, the antlers, bone, whatever, but I'm just saying, like, they have as good a time as anybody from what I can tell. And, you know, it's one of those, I guess, like, if you're on the outside.
Exactly. And they're like, what do you want to be called? Like, the not, we don't hurt anything? Or is it like, I think it was Jack Donovan said, like, what, you think when something dies, it doesn't feel pain naturally? Like, you know, you can't disassociate reality from reality. Like, they're the invertebrate, like, vertebrates don't feel pain. You know, like, come on. Like, how far do you want to go down that rabbit hole?
Right, exactly. I've never squashed a bug in my life. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, and we can do a podcast making fun of other groups, but, you know, to keep the time limits tight.
Oh, yeah. Sure, they have plenty of podcasts that that make fun of. Anyway.
Good stuff.
Well, I appreciate you joining me today, man. Is there anything we missed? Anything you want to put out there? I've enjoyed it, you know, just kind of talking and good info, but a little bit of humor involved as well. And that's always a good thing as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I had about 10 things I wanted to talk to, but, you know, you're like meeting an old buddy from the Navy. I got to like two of them. so maybe we'll do a Gator Hunt live podcast. You know, I'll try to get you out on the boat. I think we six, seven more weeks.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll try to get you out there. And thanks, man. Thank you for having me on, man. Like I said, I only touched a few things. You know, we didn't get into my little Cooey obsession lately, but that's another story.
Yeah, we'll have to go into some gear and stuff like that, and I get to the other eight things that you had at a later date. But I appreciate it, man. I've enjoyed it. We'll put out here in a few weeks. It'll be a few weeks before this one releases, but we'll put out a little Florida Hunter type stuff, man. I like it.
Yeah. Swag with like some Florida on it. I forgot to tell you that. I was going to send you that message like, hey, man, like I wear t-shirts. The thing you need a t-shirt, make one. I'll buy it.
I just want to say one more thank you to Jason for coming on. I enjoyed talking with him. Just a fun guy, a great personality. And, you know, hey, he's going to be out bow hunting maybe as soon as next season. So that's awesome and that's encouraging. It's always good to get more hunters in the field. And then as far as archery goes, I mean, man, it's some fun stuff. So I'm still in search of the first bow kill. Hopefully going to happen this season. So I'm going to stick with it. And see what we can get done. I saw some deer Saturday, but trying to get in the right position and game planning in my mind what we can do to get a little closer and to especially some bucks that I saw the other night. So we'll see what happens. And I just want to say good luck to everybody whose season is open or opening soon. And good luck to everybody. And as always, honor God, work hard, have fun, and keep hunting.